Ah, there it is. A
little tangerine.
Yeah. This was totally in the movie, Almost Famous.
Oh, it's 100% Almost Famous. Yeah.
What
look
a...
at John. Look at John.
I know, look, he, like, he's...
It's taken him to a space.
He brought it to the table today, right? I don't think we've ever discussed this song on our show. And John,
I've never played it before. It's my first time, yeah.
Been together 8 years now, which is sad. Ruben Amaro joins us. So I got to tell you, Ruben.
Joe.
It's horrible for me that I've been with this guy for 8 years now. I mean, Ruben, what am I doing? What was the point?
I don't get it.
I don't either. It's disastrous.
What are you doing?
Good morning,
I never know what you're doing.
How are you, bud?
I'm doing great.
You're doing better than our fighting Phils right now.
Struggling.
Got a little leaking oil going on right now. So, all right. Obviously, there's no like massive big picture concern. Are you a little concerned? Because let me say, I am. Here's the thing, Ruben. I'll say what I said yesterday. And I feel this is just a 1,000,000% accurate. To win the World Series and to go from where they were in April really hot to the end, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to lose the edge at some point and you got to get it back, or you maintain the edge for seven straight months. Maintaining it for seven straight months is almost impossible. Losing the edge and getting it back is not impossible, but it's not ideal. And right now it feels to me a little bit like the Phillies have lost the edge a little bit. Where are you at with our fighting Phils right now?
I don't know if they've lost the edge, but it's a long season. Lots of ebbs and flows.
Yep.
And you have to expect that they're not going to be the best team playing like the best team all the time. And that's what you're seeing right now.
That's right.
That's yeah. it. That's so they are still the best team.
Well, they have the best record.
They have not played great baseball out of the... You know, out of the break and leading up to the break. And that obviously will concern the fans. That said, don't lose sight of the big picture. Great team, very, very well managed, an excellent GM with a unbelievable makeup on this ball club, and they will get back and going the way they're supposed to be playing.
So, and they're taking the best shot from teams.
Well, you know, yeah, like, I mean, they're,
everyone
yeah.
knows that we're number one. We got the best record going, and you're starting to see that more. You know, the performance is ramped up from the opposition because it means something if you beat the Philadelphia Phillies.
Plus, some of their exploitable things, teams are seeing what they you know what they can do to exploit them, and you saw that yesterday. You saw the kid on the mound. He has a changeup, a really good one. And he's throwing it against righties and lefties, and the Phillies didn't make adjustments. That's the only concern that I have as we move forward is, will they be able to make the in-game adjustments when they're struggling against a particular pitch
yeah.
or the way that they're being attacked? And yesterday was a perfect example.
So that was what bit him at the end of last year.
That is correct.
You know, they obviously, at the end of last year, their bats were over-aggressive and undisciplined. And they fell apart at the end of the playoffs, and it cost them a chance to win a World Series.
Now, how much does that worry you that you're seeing remnants? You're seeing, you know.
Well, we always knew, John, we always knew it could pop back up. I mean, it wasn't like,
yeah.
you know, they're not full of nine, they don't have 9-10 Williams out there. I mean, they got guys that are still flawed hitters. And look, credit to a guy like Schwarber, who's been pretty even keeled the whole season. But I mean, Ruben Staat, what is year three? This was not supposed to happen year
no,
three.
No, I thought he would really take multiple steps forward. I thought he was going to end up being a guy that had a chance to be a contender for, you know, the batting title just because of his overall approach and his ability to put bat to ball,
yeah.
especially with two strikes. What I see right now is him probably trying to do a little bit too much. Last year, if you recall, he had trouble getting to the high fastball and his top hand was not working consistently. Right now I see him sort of falling back into that issue where he's not staying on top of the ball, although his swings have been better over the last 2 weeks. The results aren't there necessarily, but I see positivity in his approach right now. It's getting better and better. And let me just say something else about this lineup. These guys can really hit. They are going to be fine. There are times when they're not going to hit. This is baseball. This is part of what it's all about. It's not the same game as football. you have to stay with it. It's the long game. It's not the short game. I know it becomes a short game in the playoffs, and adjustments have to be made. But everybody, take deep breaths. This is a really, really, really great team, and they're going to come back and start playing good, solid baseball because their makeup's too darn good. This team, as a team, is one of the best makeup teams I've ever seen. And that really means a lot when you're going through tough times.
What's your reaction to this statement, Ruben? I feel extremely confident it's 1,000% accurate. We will never see Ranger Suarez pitch that well for an extended period of time that long again.
I think yesterday I thought was a great sign. He threw the ball extremely well, very close to where he was in the first part of the season. And these guys didn't hit the ball hard against them. They got some hits. You got to give them some credit because they made contact. But he was way more crisp than we'd seen in the past, five starts.
The velocity ticked up a little bit.
But it wasn't the velocity for me. It's the crispness of ball, the way the ball comes out of his hand. And that sounds like that sounds like a cliche. It makes a difference. When the ball gets into the hitting zone, it has action, okay? And when it doesn't have action, and when you have sort of a dead arm, the ball doesn't move. It doesn't have life.
Late life? Is that what
correct.
We're talking about?
Late life. When he throws his sinker, when he throws his cutter, when he tries to run that fastball in on the right-handers, it has some jump to it. And yesterday it did. They got a couple of really weak hits. And again, you got to give... You got to give the Twins some credit because they made contact with two strikes and it ended up working out well for them. But I thought Ranger was much closer to the Ranger of, May than he was to the Ranger of July.
Well, look, 215-592-9494. Let me throw this question out to everyone. And Seltzer, I'll start with you here. What concerns you the most about the Phillies? And just know this. I'm talking October. We all know they're going to make it to October. I'm talking about for October. What concerns you the most?
Inconsistency with the bats. That's my biggest concern.
And that's what Ruben was talking about.
I could not be more with Ruben. Everything he said, I agree with.
All right, look, I want everyone to weigh in at 215-592-9494. On that question, because, listen, I guess various degrees of concern, and no one should have massive concern. I mean, they still have the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
But what concerns you the most?
I keep going to the World Series. I go back to that. The way that I felt was, man, pitching. Is such a that's the difference maker. We need that.
You're talking when the Astros were doing
it. The Astros.
When
we
were in the World Series, I left that World Series positive that pitching is what wins World Series.
Well, and that's where Ranger and Christopher Sanchez's ascension made us feel different about
absolutely.
The team and made them look different as a team.
And the bullpen too. I mean, that Astros bullpen was literally one of the greatest bullpens in the history of the sport. Literally. Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
All right, look, all of this on the table, 215-592-9494. Plus, as the Eagles go to training camp, what has you most pumped up about the Birds as they embark on a new season starting today with training camp? And Elliot Short Parks joins us coming up at 7:30. More from Saquon, what he said about joining the Eagles, and a comment I got to make on the 76ers is today they unveil Paul George at a press conference. That and more, your phone calls on all these topics, plus your chance to win Imagine Dragon tickets. It's Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
So when I was getting ready to leave for work this morning, it was pouring, and my dog Chaney absolutely does not like when it rains. So what I have to do is I got to go find his bright red rain jacket that I got from Dogs and Cats Rule, put it on, then we can go proceed for our walk. Dogs and Cats Rule, they have a tremendous selection, all kinds of jackets for your fussy pet if you have one like me. The lead dog at Dogs and Cats Rule, George Perante, says when it comes to fresh food, they have it all. Gently cooked, raw, freeze-dried, dehydrated, or air-dried, a fresh meat diet along with fresh fruits, vegetables, and superfoods is today's answer for your pet's well-being. At Dogs and Cats Rule, they train the best staff in the business. They are experts at helping your pets live their best lives. They can recommend the best food if your pet has dietary restrictions or allergies. Dogs and Cats Rule, 7 neighborhood locations, Princeton and Pennington in New Jersey, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, and Bluebell in Pennsylvania. Or you can check them out online at dogsandcatsrule.pet.
All right, the start of Eagles training camp is today. They practice tomorrow, but they convene as a group today. I guess this would be the day for Sirianni. John, like, you ask, what does Sirianni do? I know this. Kellen Moore ain't going to give the first address. He's not.
No.
Vic Fangio ain't giving it.
I think that has gotten, it's gotten so out of hand, the question, and I ask it too. What is Nick really doing? We know that for a long time he's prided himself on being a teacher of football. He really talked at length about, you know, when he was in San Diego, when he was in Indianapolis, how much he enjoyed the process of creating plays, designing the plays, the collaboration with the other coaches where they're actually creating and then teaching that. And that's something that he thinks he considers himself gifted at. He's a good teacher. You know, and that's something that I do think you've seen that demonstrated. I think that
I don't think he's going to be involved that much, though, John. I really don't.
Okay. Well, like one of the things involved in designing this offense with Kellen Moore, I know. Boy, I don't know where I stand on a lot of this. I've heard a lot of new things from Diana Rossini.
Yep.
I can't believe if Nick Sirianni truly was calling plays. I can't believe like Brian Johnson was done the way he was done. That was pretty dirty. I don't understand exactly the way it went down. I expect it to be so much better this season.
Well, look, they got great talent, and it better be better because the way it ended last year
was a disgrace.
Joe, it was a disgrace.
We didn't pass protect.
They couldn't move the ball.
It doesn't make sense to have an offense that excludes a major facet. Like, that is what we considered the most important facet. When Juan Castillo was the offensive line coach instead of Jeff Stoutland, oh my gosh, it was all day, every day, all Juan talked about, protecting Don. Protecting Donovan McNabb was first and foremost, and it wasn't even close in terms of, like, level of importance, which is why it completely escapes me that this team last season went out there with the plan to not have a plan for pass protection, to protect our quarterback, the most important player on the field that we paid $255 million. We didn't have a plan to keep him upright. That has changed. Well, that is completely different this year. And he's saying that it's very new. And, hey, there's going to be some growing pains. It's going to be very new. It's going to be very effective. It's going to look different. It's going to be exciting. I can't tell you how well-suited this whole – I mean, we talked about the skill guys. Yep. They're so great. This is going to be an offense that moves and carries the team and puts us in such an awesome, exciting position.
Look, a lot of talk today about the positive side of things with the Eagles. You know, we had a poll yesterday. We've talked a lot about Jalen and Nick recently, and in a lot of ways not in good ways. And we had a poll yesterday, you know, which is more top of mind for you? Which do you feel more emotionally? The drag of concern about Sirianni and Hurts, their relationship and those guys individually, or positivity entering training camp and excitement?
Yes.
And the reality is 73% said, you know, the positive side of things. Great. So let's crank it up today at 215-592-9494. What has you stoked for this coming Eagles season as they embark on training camp, which starts today? By the way, Elliot Shure Parks in 5 minutes. Phone calls through the show again, 215-592-9494, including your chance to win on what's going on with the Phils. And Paul George will be introduced today by the 76ers, a press conference at 1 p.m. that we will carry live here on WIP during Joe and Hugh's show. Let's go to the Sledgehammer, Mark in Collegeville. Good morning, Sledge.
What's up, Joe? How you doing, pal?
Hey, dude.
Sir Richelot, how are you, sire?
What's up, Sledge?
Whoa.
Sire? Did you call him sire?
No, that's one of my
sired
nicknames.
Him, huh?
Don't cross nicknames. I am sire.
You are not sire.
I am sire.
Oh, so he actually really does feel like
I'm offended by this. Yes.
I'm made for breeding. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, Sledge, sire? Here's what's been taken off the board by me, all right, and by people who have given me these names. Czar?
No one gave you Czar.
No one gave you Czar.
Cannibal.
Hammer, obviously.
These are self-administered.
And the Pandering Pink Peeper, which is a classic.
That one fits.
That one fits.
No one has called you the Czar but yourself.
That's true.
But we like call Richie Sire because it gets under your skin.
Yeah, well, all right. What do you got on the Eagles here today, Sledge?
So on the Eagles, I find it quite comical the way the Giants handle Saquon Barkley and we picked him up because, you know, their disrespect for him is our gain. So I actually want to thank the Giants for messing up on that one.
Well, look, they definitely ticked him off. They ticked him off for a number of years, and I think it had a cumulative effect to him, you know,
boom, when he could go, he went.
Yeah.
I will say this, Sledge. I'm going to circle back to it, though.
They're probably we
don't know that the Eagles giving him that much money will work, and we don't know for the Giants' purpose.
I don't think it made any sense for the Giants to sign Saquon. Like, none. They have all kinds of issues. Like, the Eagles, you can at least argue, it's a great roster, add a running back, see what happens. Yeah. Like, the Giants, like, I don't think the Giants really wanted him back that much.
I think their actions prove that. That's right.
Yeah, but you know what? This year is going to be exciting because we have a lot of weapons for Jalen to be able to perform.
Yep.
Like, great things are going to happen. Now, I did want to get on the Phillies real quick. And, Ruben, I'm glad you're here because one thing that was said by Topper that kind of bothered me a little bit, and I want to get your take on it, is he said, and I quote, "When we pitch, we're not hitting, and when we're hitting, we're not pitching." What is your opinion and take on that?
That's what's happening right now at this very moment. Then, and that's exact. I mean, he told the truth.
Sledge, I mean, that happens.
That's
sometimes.
Exactly what happens.
Sure.
And that is not something that is happening all year long. What is happening all year long is that they're both pitching and hitting. So this is just one of those moments in this season. You can take this little piece of time, these last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and you can dish them, because what's important is how you start and how you finish. And it's, to me, it's about how you finish. And this team, it's just too good not to be more consistent, and I would not worry about it.
All right, Sledge, give me a food or a drink and a title for the Imagine Dragon tickets.
I got a banger for you. How about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
That is a big answer. That's a very, very big answer. All right, let's go to Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Before I get to my Eagles point real quick, just on the Phillies, I think the thing that I want to watch most closely is, look, these starters, and we know this from Topper in the past postseasons, these guys aren't going to have as long a rope in when they start the game. So you're going to need more bullpen arms to pitch more in. The last postseason game that Ranger pitched last year, that game in Atlanta, or not the last one, but game one in Atlanta when they won.
Yeah.
Ranger got 10 outs. So that was 17 outs that several other guys.
He'll get more than that, though, this year, Ken. But I hear you. He's probably not going to get, what's 7 times 3? He's probably not going to get 21 outs.
Yeah, he's just not going to. I mean, we saw it with Wheeler, right, in game
7
six in the World Series. Like, he's just not going to leave these guys
he's like
out
4
there.
Years old.
That was horrible. I really struggled for a moment to figure out what the heck 7 times 3 was. When is that?
Are you serious?
Is that, it took me
outs.
A second. Is that like 6 year old? When is it? That's 7?
No, that's 6, 5, 6. You're doing multiple.
It's about 6.
That's no, like that's second
that's
or third.
Third grade.
I think it's second
grade.
Or third.
Maybe it's eighth.
Grade.
Maybe it's eighth.
It's definitely
no,
before
it's definitely before eight.
I'm
what age are we talking
third.
About?
No,
what age?
I think it was 8th grade for Seltzer. All right, 7 times 3 with 8th grade for Seltzer.
Multiplication.
No, 3rd grade is multiplication. That's when you learn. He's absolutely right.
I thought you know for sure, James.
Well, that's when I learned. Okay, I learned. Okay, I learned my multiplication tables in 3rd grade. Okay.
I remember we did
Richie did too, apparently.
I got them in 1st grade.
I had it before that.
That was different.
Yeah, I was doing the 5 times 5. It's 25.
I don't think you were.
No, you were doing plus and minus.
Yeah, I don't think you were.
In 1st and 2nd.
You couldn't figure out 7 times 3. Don't tell us you were learning it fast.
I forgot. It was a long time ago. Ken, what do you got on the birds?
Talk amongst yourselves. No problem. Look, the thing that I'm excited to see is I really want to see what this defense looks like. Vic Fangio has been the defensive coordinator that they've wanted for a while. You know, he's been the Mr. Miyagi of their defensive system, and now they have Mr. Miyagi. I'm really excited to see, you know, how they incorporate some of these new guys. I mean, you've got an embarrassment of riches in the secondary, and we just don't know who's going to wind up shaking out as the rotation, but there's so much depth there. And the thing that, like, and James knows this, I was on Bryce Huff from day one, and what's his name said it yesterday. Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank.
Ross Tucker?
Ross Tucker, yeah. About his, when you look at his win rate and all those kinds of things, and it really is elite. And a couple of members of the organization, players, I think Howie might have referenced it, when they've been asked about whatever the issue was last year, was it fixed? They've all just basically said, yeah, it's fixed. And they stopped at that. And I really do think that one of the biggest problems last year that they're referring to when it was fixed was number 7's gone. I mean, it's obvious when they've signed Bryce up first in free agency in the legal tampering period, that signaled that they could not move off of Hassan Reddick fast enough. There's a reason for that. And I'm just really excited to see how he incorporates some of these new guys. I think Zach Bond is going to be kind of his version of Van Ginkle here. And I'm excited to see what this defense looks
like. All
right,
Ken, give me a great answer. Food or drink in a title?
I think it is the greatest book ever written that has a food or drink in a title. And that would be The Catcher in the Rye.
Ooh.
The Rye, yeah. That's a big one.
Wow.
Big answer.
My dad was in that one.
My dad was actually in that.
Well,
book.
You're talking about the other catcher in the Rye. You're talking about the baseball catcher.
You're not talking J.D. Salinger
talking,
catcher in the Rye.
Yeah, not that one.
Right. Of course. So who wrote that?
Where do you think my mind is?
Yeah, you weren't the guy in ninth grade. Well, you were the guy in ninth grade doing what's featured in that book, which is
right.
Part of why they sometimes won't let kids read that book. But that's a whole other matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Correct.
But who wasn't that kid in ninth grade? All right. One quick question, then Elliot joins
that
us.
That kid. Holden.
Holden Caulfield.
Holden something.
Holden Caulfield.
Holden wow. something.
They are teaching it again.
They do. Yeah.
No! Holden Caulfield. All right, so one question.
Thanks Spencer, for the emphasis.
You remember that big controversy? All right, one question, then we get to Elliot. So Reddick just got brought up. I'm lost in this one. I haven't even thought about it for a couple weeks. Do we know if he's showing up to the Jets?
No.
No, he is not yet, as far as we know.
And I don't know.
Did they show up yet?
Good question.
So you guys are speculating you think he won't show up.
I just haven't heard that he's showing up.
I haven't heard anything.
I'll look to see when they report.
Yeah, because
we know that he wasn't showing up for OTAs and their mini camps.
But that's not that unusual. What's unusual, not unprecedented, is when you don't show up when it's training camp time.
And I don't believe they had, prior to today, shown up.
I don't
expect, if he doesn't have a new deal, him to show up. I think he's drawn a line here. I don't know that for a fact.
Boy, the Jets
it's today. New York Jets veterans are supposed to report today.
All right,
so
I need
we'll
a prediction. Rhea, does he show up to Jets camp? Prediction.
$50,000 a day. He's going to get fined. Isn't that what it is?
Well, it's a lot of money. He's also trying to make, $50
million. I'm going to say
yes. I'm going to say yes as well, but I'll tell you, if he doesn't, then it makes Howie look better and it makes the Jets look worse.
This is why the Eagles had to finally, let him go, I think. I think he dug his heels in. I think he's going to hold out. I think this is finally when he digs his heels in.
Well, we'll say, all right.
It's too bad. It's too bad that it's come to this point because he is such a good player. But he's in between positions, and no team is going to value him enough, despite the fact that the production is there. The size isn't quite there, and that's the big hang-up.
He is also getting a little older.
And
And then there's a guy like Ken who thinks he's a malcontent. Look, maybe he is, maybe he's not. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Any of that.
I don't know either. It did seem like he wasn't happy to be dropped in coverage a little bit more. Now, I think that topic was, frankly, a little overblown by fans. But if Hassan Reddick felt that way, then he felt that way.
He might have.
And if he acted out because of that.
But then I've heard all sorts of things, like he may have acted out. He may have been freelancing and that sort of thing. I don't know the truth.
I don't either. All right, 215-592-9494. So as the Eagles go to training camp today, a lot on, what has you pumped up for the Birds to start at camp. Also in the Phils, as they drop three or four now, out of the All-Star break, and frankly weren't playing great going into it. What concerns you about the Phils? I mean, they're obviously in phenomenal shape to make the postseason, but as you project to the postseason, whether it's, the slide back of Sir Anthony, the slide back recently of Alvarado, recently like a whole month now, Bryson Stott not hitting, Ranger not pitching as well, 215-5, I mean, that's not even getting to the outfield need and potential more bullpen need. 215-592-9494 for what stands out to you with the Phils right now. All right, let's talk some Eagles football. Our next guest, Elliot Sher Parks. It's time for him for the next 8 months to lock in because Elliot is our Eagles beat reporter. He's brought to us today by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What's up? How you guys doing?
Quite,
you excited for the best time of the year?
Yes.
Best time of the year about to start.
Super.
The best time of the year is October. Yeah. I mean, other than Christmas if you're a kid. Well, listen, if the Phils are in the playoffs and the Eagles are giving us a great season, that's hard, in my opinion, at top. But the start of training camp is special. And I mean, look, Elliot, credit to the Phils. they made it a lot easier for all of us as sports fans to get here this year. I mean, there were years gone by where the Phils freaking stunk, and we were crawling to try to get to late July for training camp. But, all right, here we are. The Phils are in good shape. The Eagles have a pretty good team. So, Elliot, let's get to it here. Let's start with this, Elliot. Can you just frame for everyone listening what is on tap over the next 2 to 3 days? They meet today. Does Sirianni address the team tonight? The practice tomorrow. We know Sirianni speaking at 9:30 tomorrow. We're going to carry that press conference live tomorrow on WIP. Just give us the next 2 or 3 days as they come together as a group.
Yep. So today is the official beginning of training camp. It is the report date. It is when all 90 players on the roster are required to report for training camp. The expectation is all 90 players will report for training camp. This is not a Hassan Reddick situation. So all the players will get in the building today. They'll have physicals. They'll do their conditioning tests. And they'll have a team meeting where, yes, Nick Sirianni, the head coach, will lead that team meeting. Tomorrow, they're scheduled to have their first practice. I say scheduled just because it looks like it's going to rain, and I'll be curious to see how that impacts things. But they're set to practice tomorrow. They will practice Thursday. They have a walkthrough on Friday and then back to practice on Saturday. So that's kind of the first chunk there of training camp.
All right, so Elliot, as much as I'm looking forward to actual football and these guys practicing and all of us getting our eyes on them, the thing I'm most looking forward to, and I think a lot of people are, is what Jalen Hurts will say.
Yes.
When is he going to speak? And what do you expect from Jalen Hurts when he is asked a question about his relationship with Nick Sirianni?
So it's not official yet when he will speak. Nick Sirianni is scheduled to speak Wednesday at 9:30. There is no official time for Jalen yet. I would assume it's going to be Wednesday. He is the franchise quarterback. It's the first day of training camp. It would make sense to have him go on Wednesday. And when he does speak, you're right. How he answers the question about his relationship with Nick is important. And it's also important to note, it's not just about that one answer anymore, you know, from 6 weeks ago. Now there's been reporting, which, you know, we've all talked about, that, you know, the relationship was described as a work in progress and those things. So they're going to be tough questions. I'll be curious to see how Jalen answers it, because while, you know, he is just not someone that waxes poetically for 2 minutes, right? He's not someone that gets up there and gives long answers and talks about his feelings and things. He's a very businesslike guy. So I think he will answer it and say that he has a good relationship with Nick. And, you know, I think he'll try to put out the fire a little bit, but his personality is not really one where, you know, I'd be surprised if it was a long answer.
How much harder will camp be this year? You know, the fact that there is a walkthrough really early in the makings, so like, that doesn't sound like a good sign that it will be a little increased in intensity. Mm-hmm. As you know, last year, I think it was October, Nick was asked about this, and he said he would consider it for 2024, making camp harder, longer practices, more hitting, that sort of thing. What do you know on that front, Elliot?
Yeah, so I don't expect a big change, if any change, in training camp this year. I think they'll probably stick to mostly what they have done the past few years, maybe one extra day, maybe practice or 15 minutes longer. But I don't expect a major shift in philosophy. And frankly, I don't think there should be. I mean, training camp's doing two things. One, getting the team ready for the season and keeping the team healthy. And they have been remarkably good at that the last few years. The past 2 years, they've gotten off to obviously outstanding starts. Sirianni is 3-0. In season openers as a head coach, and they have been healthy. Now, I know that can be somewhat luck, but I think the way they've run training camp these past 3 years has worked. So I don't expect any kind of major changes this year.
How much more on the same page, in quotes, is Jalen Hurts with Kellen Moore than Nick and Jalen were on the same page last year? Like, has that relationship, as far as you can tell, developed in an appropriate and positive way?
Yeah, I just don't think we can tell yet, just because they haven't had any games together. They haven't struggled together. I mean, Nick and Jalen were on the same page for a year and a half, right? Until all of a sudden it fell apart. So yeah, I do think training camp will be really important in that regard. I think we would all agree that they've upgraded at probably both coordinator spots. But to your point, there are still two new coordinators, and teams with two new coordinators generally don't end up going deep into playoffs and winning the Super Bowl. So getting them on the same page, taking these reps to practice the new systems are incredibly important. But
I you know, so far so good, everything I hear between Jalen and Kellen, but I think it's way too early to give any kind of definitive answer on that relationship.
Elliot, wasn't Nick Sirianni making it a very strong point that he was the one who hired and fired the coordinators? What, there was some point this offseason where it was, I don't know, like almost show-stopping the way he wanted to draw attention to the fact that this is my doing. I hire and fire these guys. Doesn't that sort of fly in the face of what was reported by Diana Rossini last week about Howie being the one who exclusively hires and fires the coordinators?
Yeah, you know the training camp's beginning of football's back when we're talking about Howie's involvement in something, right? It feels like yes. Every single year, as long as Howie is here, it's how involved is Howie? And the answer is, Howie is always extremely involved. He runs the football team. He has, I would say, almost final say on everything that goes in that building. And I don't think that's a bad thing. That's just my personal opinion. Like, you could argue there's not many people in the NFL right now that are more qualified to make decisions like that than Howie. He's been in the league for 12 years. He's won a Super Bowl, all those things. But you're
Are we past the point where Nick Sirianni needs to pretend like he's making the decisions?
So in my opinion, I think that's about accountability. I think if Nick went up there and talked about the coordinators, and he is involved in the decisions, to be clear. This isn't like he walks in and Howie goes, here's what we're doing. But if Nick went up there and said, no, that was Howie, that was his call, like, we all know how that would go over.
Right, so, right.
So I think that mostly that's about taking accountability because, again, he is the head football coach.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. Elliot, I want to get to Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. Elliot, I'm curious your answer to this poll question today. Do the Eagles have a good defense? We don't have a third choice. We don't have a, I don't know, we'll see. The choices are yes, they have a good defense. No, they don't. What's your answer?
I would say yes, and I'm certainly not a I don't know guy. You don't need that third option. I'll go yes or no. So I think yes. I think when you look at this team, that yes, at the end of the season last year, they were bad. But we all know the reason for that, and that's Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia, it was a bad decision to hire him in the first place. He was a bad defensive coordinator pretty much everywhere he's been besides New England, and he was bad last year. So when you add Vic Fangio, who might not be like a top three coordinator anymore, but he is certainly base level good / competent at his job. And I just think there's more talent than people think on this defense. They have a ton of options in the secondary. Yes, unproven, but I think this is one of the deepest secondaries they've had in a while. The defensive line, same thing. Jalen Carter, Bryce Huff, Josh Sweat, like, they have guys there. And I really think Devin White is going to be a special player for them this year based off what I've seen in practice. So if you told me at the end of the year if they're going to be top five or bottom five, I think there's a far more likely shot they are top five defense than bottom five defense.
So, Elliot, on the day, a player John and I have been very down on is Jordan Davis. Let's go to what you just talked about at the end of the year. When this year is over, the consensus amongst Philadelphia sports fans on Jordan Davis will be what? Give us a prediction on his season.
I think he'll just be what he's always been.
Well, that's not good enough.
No, it's not. I agree with you. And I think they need to add a defensive tackle, because one issue they could run into on defense is if that defensive tackle spot next to Jalen Carter isn't getting anything done, they'll just double-team Jalen Carter, and obviously that'll make it really hard for him to have an impact. I do think Milton Williams has shown in his career as a part-time player that he can be a very effective pass rusher. But with Jordan Davis, it's been now his college career and his NFL career so far where he has not shown an ability to get after the passer. Could it change? Yes, but I'm not betting on it just because it's been a long time. It's who he is. He is a run-stopping nose tackle. I just don't view him as an impact guy against the passer. But we'll see. I think at the end of the year, he'll be viewed as mostly the same guy.
All right, Elliot, let's talk about Jalen Carter here. You just referenced him. So last year, I think it's fair to say entering the season, the mindset was it'd be really great if he gives them something really good. And he did until he didn't. This year, I think it's fair to say, with Fletcher gone and Reddick gone and Darius Slay a year older and Bradbury not much of a factor, that now it's the Eagles need Jalen Carter to be dominant. We know he can be. I'm curious, the off-the-field stuff that obviously was a major talking point entering year one for him, WIP, just give us the next two or three days as they come together as a group.
Yep. So today is the official beginning of training camp. It is the report date. It is when all 90 players on the roster are required to report for training camp. The expectation is all 90 players will report for training camp. This is not a Hassan Reddick situation. So all the players will get in the building today. They'll have physicals. They'll do their conditioning tests. And they'll have a team meeting where, yes, Nick Sirianni, the head coach, will lead that team meeting. Tomorrow, they're scheduled to have their first practice. I say scheduled just because it looks like it's going to rain, and I'll be curious to see how that impacts things. But they're set to practice tomorrow. They will practice Thursday. They have a walkthrough on Friday and then back to practice on Saturday. So that's kind of the first chunk there of training camp.
All right, so Elliot, as much as I'm looking forward to actual football and these guys practicing and all of us getting our eyes on them, the thing I'm most looking forward to, and I think a lot of people are, is what Jalen Hurts will say.
Yes.
When is he going to speak? And what do you expect from Jalen Hurts when he is asked a question about his relationship with Nick Sirianni?
So it's not official yet when he will speak. Nick Sirianni is scheduled to speak Wednesday at 9:30. There is no official time for Jalen yet. I would assume it's going to be Wednesday. He is the franchise quarterback. It's the first day of training camp. It would make sense to have him go on Wednesday. And when he does speak, you're right. How he answers the question about his relationship with Nick is important. And it's also important to note, it's not just about that one answer anymore, you know, from 6 weeks ago. Now there's been reporting, which, you know, we've all talked about, that, you know, the relationship was described as a work in progress and those things. So they're going to be tough questions. I'll be curious to see how Jalen answers it because while, you know, he is just not someone that waxes poetically for 2 minutes, right? He's not someone that gets up there and gives long answers and talks about his feelings and things. He's a very businesslike guy. So I think he will answer it and say that he has a good relationship with Nick. And, you know, I think he'll try to put out the fire a little bit, but his personality is not really one where, you know, I'd be surprised if it was a long answer.
How much harder will camp be this year? You know, the fact that there is a walkthrough really early in the makings, so like that doesn't sound like a good sign that it will be a little increased in intensity. Mm-hmm. As you know, last year, I think it was October, Nick was asked about this, and he said he would consider it for 2024, making camp harder, longer practices, more hitting, that sort of thing. What do you know on that front, Elliot?
Yeah, so I don't expect a big change, if any change, in training camp this year. I think they'll probably stick to mostly what they have done the past few years, maybe one extra day, maybe practice or 15 minutes longer. But I don't expect a major shift in philosophy. And frankly, I don't think there should be. I mean, training camp's doing two things. One, getting the team ready for the season and keeping the team healthy. And they have been remarkably good at that the last few years. The past 2 years, they've gotten off to obviously outstanding starts. Sirianni is 3-0. In season openers as a head coach, and they have been healthy. Now, I know that can be somewhat luck, but I think the way they've run training camp these past 3 years has worked. So I don't expect any kind of major changes this year.
How much more on the same page, in quotes, is as Jalen Hurts with Kellen Moore than Nick and Jalen were on the same page last year? Like, has that relationship, as far as you can tell, developed in an appropriate and positive way?
Yeah, I just don't think we can tell yet, just because they haven't had any games together. They haven't struggled together. I mean, Nick and Jalen were on the same page for a year and a half, right? Until all of a sudden it fell apart. So yeah, I do think training camp will be really important in that regard. I think we would all agree that they've upgraded at probably both coordinator spots. But to your point, there are still two new coordinators, and teams with two new coordinators generally don't end up going deep into playoffs and winning the Super Bowl. So getting them on the same page, taking these reps to practice the new systems are incredibly important. But I so far so good from everything I hear between Jalen and Kellen. But I think it's way too early to give any kind of definitive answer on that relationship.
Elliot, wasn't Nick Sirianni making it a very strong point that he was the one who hired and fired the coordinators? What, there was some point this offseason where it was, I don't know, like almost show-stopping the way he wanted to draw attention to the fact that this is my doing. I hire and fire these guys. Doesn't that sort of fly in the face of what was reported by Diana Rossini last week about Howie being the one who exclusively hires and fires the coordinators?
Yeah, you know the training camp's beginning of football's back and we're talking about Howie's involvement in something, right? It feels like every single year, as long as Howie is here, it's how involved is Howie? And the answer is, Howie is always extremely involved. He runs the football team. He has, I would say, almost final say on everything that goes in that building. And I don't think that's a bad thing. That's just my personal opinion. Like, you could argue there's not many people in the NFL right now that are more qualified to make decisions like that than Howie. He's been in the league for 12 years. He's won a Super Bowl, all those things. But you're
Are we past the point where Nick Sirianni needs to pretend like he's making the decisions?
So so in my opinion, I think that's about accountability. I think if Nick went up there and talked about the coordinators, and he is involved in the decisions, to be clear. This isn't like he walks in and Howie goes, here's what we're doing. But if Nick went up there and said, no, that was Howie, that was his call, like, we all know how that would go over.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that mostly that's about taking accountability because, again, he is the head football coach.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. Elliot, I want to get to Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Elliot, I'm curious your answer to this poll question today. Do the Eagles have a good defense? We don't have a third choice. We don't have a, I don't know, we'll see. The choices are yes, they have a good defense. No, they don't. What's your answer?
I would say yes, and I'm certainly not a I don't know guy. You don't need that third option. I'll go yes or no. So I think yes. I think when you look at this team, that yes, at the end of the season last year, they were bad. But we all know the reason for that, and that's Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia, it was a bad decision to hire him in the first place. He was a bad defensive coordinator pretty much everywhere he's been besides New England, and he was bad last year. So when you add Vic Fangio, who might not be like a top three coordinator anymore, but he is certainly base level good / competent at his job. And I just think there's more talent than people think on this defense. They have a ton of options in the secondary. Yes, unproven, but I think this is one of the deepest secondaries they've had in a while. The defensive line, same thing. Jalen Carter, Bryce Huff, Josh Sweat, like, they have guys there. And I really think Devin White is going to be a special player for them this year based off what I've seen in practice. So if you told me at the end of the year if they're going to be top five or bottom five, I think there's a far more likely shot they are top five defense than bottom five defense.
So, Elliot, on the day, a player John and I have been very down on is Jordan Davis. Let's go to what you just talked about at the end of the year. When this year is over, the consensus amongst Philadelphia sports fans on Jordan Davis will be what? Give us a prediction on his season.
I think he'll just be what he's always been.
Well, that's not good enough.
No, it's not. I agree with you. And I think they need to add a defensive tackle, because one issue they could run into on defense is if that defensive tackle spot next to Jalen Carter isn't getting anything done, they'll just double-team Jalen Carter, and obviously that'll make it really hard for him to have an impact. I do think Milton Williams has shown in his career as a part-time player that he can be a very effective pass rusher. But with Jordan Davis, it's been now his college career and his NFL career so far where he has not shown an ability to get after the passer. Could it change? Yes, but I'm not betting on it just because it's been a long time. It's who he is. He is a run-stopping nose tackle. I just don't view him as an impact guy against the passer. But we'll see. I think at the end of the year, he'll be viewed as mostly the same guy.
All right, Elliot, let's talk about Jalen Carter here. You just referenced him. So last year, I think it's fair to say entering the season, the mindset was it'd be really great if he gives them something really good. And he did until he didn't. This year, I think it's fair to say, with Fletcher gone and Reddick gone and Darius Slay a year older and Bradbury not much of a factor, that now it's the Eagles need Jalen Carter to be dominant. We know he can be. I'm curious, the off-the-field stuff that obviously was a major talking point entering year one for him, how do you think, I mean, you know this better than we do, you're around him a lot more, how do you think he carried himself last year? Was he a pro? And does it show signs of a 10, 12-year career of being a real professional?
Yeah, I think so. I think since the beginning of Jalen Carter's time in Philadelphia to right now, I think you have seen him mature, as you do with most rookies coming into the NFL. Talking to him this offseason, being around him, he just, to me, seems like somebody that is very ready to shoulder the burden that you just talked about with Fletcher Cox leaving. I think he seems like a much more mature NFL player with a year under his belt. And yeah, so I do think he is prepared for this. Physically, he definitely has the skills to do it. You saw that last year.
I think that with this year, what it's going to be about is, you know, can he maintain that throughout the whole year? Can he continue to be that dominant force? Because without Fletcher, like if Jalen Carter is not making an impact, then the defensive line is in serious trouble. If he is, and he's playing to the potential of what he could be, then it all comes together. Because if he's collapsing that pocket, it makes life easier on Huff, who is one of the best in the league at winning his matchup against tackles. And obviously you have Josh Sweat. So it all just comes together. But yeah, I do believe Jalen Carter is ready for the responsibility that he has this season.
Elliot, which cornerback do you think will win the job opposite Slay?
You know, it's the thing that I'm most excited for, I'll say, with training camp. We've been talking about it all offseason, just the battle at training at corner opposite Slay.
Yeah.
I think right now it'll probably be Kelee Ringo. He was a relatively high draft pick last year. He played snaps at the end of the season. They've had him out there opposite Slay in offseason workouts. Isaiah Rogers, I think, can push him. And then Quinyon Mitchell has been lining up behind Slay. We'll see if that changes at one point. But I truly think between like Ringo, Rogers, and Quinyon, you know, it's maybe 40% Kelee, 30% Isaiah Rogers, and 30% Quinyon. Like, I think it's really close heading into this season or heading into training camp.
Wow. And then the nickel, is it Avante's job to lose? Is Cooper DeJean, is he going to make a hard push? Quinyon Mitchell, does he have potential there? How do you see that shaking out?
So I don't think you'll see Quinyon line up like straight up at nickel. One thing they did do in the nickel corner, one thing they did do in the offseason practice I saw is they had packages where they got Quinyon out there as an extra defensive back. So if he doesn't start opposite Slay, I do think you'll see them get creative and how they use Quinyon and getting him out there. But in terms of the starting nickel job, I think Maddox is a placeholder. Like, he's a good placeholder, and when he's healthy, he's a very good player. But he'll be there until Cooper is ready. So week one in Brazil against the Packers, I think there's like a 48% chance that it's Cooper. Like, I think he has a real shot of winning that job.
Elliot, I'm expecting a big year out of you, man.
I'm trying.
I need those training camp stats, like, in real time on Twitter. What Jalen's doing with his passing game, okay?
Well, this is yes, absolutely.
I was looking up the stats yesterday. So I'm already got referenced. He had 17 touchdowns last year, which, by the way, was the lowest of his career in training camp. So kind of, foreshadowing.
I'm just trying to make sense of this. Is Cooper DeJean, in your mind, going to play? Does he have a chance to play significantly more than Quinyon Mitchell does this year?
I think so, just because his path to starting is more open, right? With Avante yes. Maddox in front of him. And Maddox is a player that's been here, but, Maddox, didn't get much guaranteed money, and Cooper obviously being a high draft pick. So I think at the end of the year, there's a decent shot that Cooper has played more snaps than Quinn.
Yeah, me too. How about that?
Elliot, good work, buddy. We'll talk to you probably a couple times this week. Enjoy training camp. Thanks, pal.
Yep, can't wait. Talk to you.
All right, Elliot Sherport.